Welcome to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Listen to in-depth discussions about different legal fields and hear insights and lessons learned from practitioners across our enterprise.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of our podcast. I'm Lieutenant Greg Lines. Today's episode is going to be a good one, folks. We've put together an all-star lineup of guests who are coming to answer, inter alia, the question, VLCs, where are they now? Make sure your headphones are charged. Here we go. My next guest is Commander and actually Captain Select Mary Murphy. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
Could you just kind of walk us through your career up to this point?
Absolutely. I joined the JAG Corps in 2004. I went to ODS, the sort of fall class of November 2004, graduated from Naval Justice School in March of 2005, where I reported to Naval Legal Service Office, Mid-Atlantic. While there, I served as a legal assistance attorney, defense counsel, and the officer in charge of our tax assistance center. First tour in Norfolk at NILSO Midland. I then went on to Code 13, our administrative law division at the Office of the Judge Advocate General, served in the personnel law branch and the ethics and government standards of conduct branch. After leaving Code 13 in 2009, I reported back to Naval Legal Service Office Mid-Atlantic, where I was the legal assistance department head until I detached in May 2011 and reported to be the staff judge advocate for the Chief of Naval Air Training and the branch head for Region Legal Service Office Southeast Corpus Christi office. While there, I was the SJ to Sinatra, also in OIC, and I also worked on the realignment and the stand-up of the transition of legal assistance over to Region Legal Service Offices, transition of defense over to stand-up of defense service offices. After my tour in Corpus Christi, I reported as a victim's legal counsel in June of 2014, where I served as a victim's legal counsel in Norfolk, and then was sort of named the officer in charge of the East region in March of 2015. My VLC tour concluded in July of 2017, where I reported as the staff judge advocate for Expeditionary Strike Group 2 in Little Creek, Virginia. And then after my SJ tour at ESG 2, I reported as the executive officer for Region Legal Service Office Europe, Africa Central in Naples, Italy. I did my EXO tour until 2021 and then reported back to OJAG at Code 61, which is our Military Personnel Programs and Policy Branch. It feels like a lot when I say it.
Well, so many great things, though. Ma'am, kind of, you know, this year we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Victims Legal Counsel Program. And I think it's really kind of a treat to be able to hear from some of the kind of original group of VLCs from when the program got started. What did you think when you were told, hey, you're going to be a Victims Legal Counsel?
Well, I was nervous. I was excited. The billets hadn't been on the rollers list or the slate while I was going through that detailing process, and no one had done it before. So there was no one to ask, hey, what's this like? You know, what's going to happen? What am I going to be doing? There's some definite trepidation about what my job would be. I was excited to go to Norfolk. I knew that it would be busy. I knew what the caseload would be like. Super excited to be doing something new and something with real purpose.
Did you have any kind of growing pains as you got into the job?
Absolutely. You know, we didn't have much of a structure. It's hard sometimes when there's great independence and excitement about having no rules. It's also really scary because you don't know where your guardrails are. There was so much attention on it, on the program, on what we were doing, and no one wanted it to fail. We wanted to be good ambassadors. We wanted to help our clients. We wanted to be forces of like just doing something positive for the system, for our clients. So it's sort of scary, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then
you also had no one knew what to do with us. You know, trial counsel didn't know how to use the VLC to really get our clients to open up and testify well and present evidence. Some judges didn't know how to handle counsel and their motions in CIS. You know, how do we navigate that? We were just new. So it was just critically important that we get the program off to a good start and build credibility.
Right, definitely. Do you recall any specific like legal hurdles that you experienced at that time?
No, and I will say that practicing in Norfolk, all of the judges were really great about giving us wide latitude with the case law. And we knew where we did have standing. The judges would ask to hear from us on those issues where we had standing and could appear before the court. I know other circuits were not as fortunate as we were in Norfolk. I think if you talk to other counsel who were there at the same time, they would say that some of the challenges were more with trial counsel and NCIS and having access to information and documents that were relevant to our clients and that our clients were entitled to.
How did you feel about kind of the idea of third new table in litigation?
You know, a lot of what we were saying is our clients have choices. They need to be able to execute and have a choice in the process and have a say, and they need to be able for their voice to be heard. And that third table provided our clients with this opportunity to be heard, be able to make those choices, to appear in court. You know, one hurdle we had was who got to talk to our client. Did our clients have to speak with defense counsel? We had to litigate some motions, but honestly, you know, those motions needed to be litigated. The law, we had to create a record to protect the rights of our clients. So they were good challenges.
And as somebody who had experience in legal assistance, did you feel like that was a good kind of way to prepare for doing victims legal counsel?
Absolutely. I think being a defense counsel was excellent. I would say all of the jobs that I did had prepared me well. So when I was the OIC of the Tax Assistance Center in Norfolk, at that time, we had a number of limited duty and pregnant sailors who were assigned to NILSA Midland to work at the tax center. And so I had 100 limited duty and pregnant sailors who worked for me. That prepared me very well for being a victim's legal counsel because I had just had so much contact with my sailors. They had challenges, they had issues, you know, navigating sort of where they were in their naval career helped prepare me. Being a legal assistance attorney helped prepare me. Being a defense attorney and sort of working with people who are vulnerable, that helped me. On the other side, my time at Code 13 with the administrative law, understanding how the system worked and how to best advocate for my client within the on the administrative side and sort of the bureaucracy and understanding what would happen post-trial or post-reports of misconduct and being able to articulate to that to my clients and having that knowledge was also very important. My SJA tour, just building relationships and knowing who I had to build relationships with, how to interact with commanding officers. You know, the Chief of Naval Air Training has multiple training air wings that fall under the Chief of Naval Air Training. So I had these working relationships with commodores and commanding officers and developing those relationships and knowing how to interact and advocate with commanders was critically important when I'm advocating for my client. All of these discrete jobs and different experiences, I think, set me up for success while I was a victim's legal counsel.
But really, I think, like you said, there's so much more at play though, right? Because clients' interests go beyond the courtroom and your advocacy can be on so many different levels. So having those, you know, legal assistance or SJA skills is really helpful, right? Because you can become a much more skilled advocate to help advance the client's interests in various parts of their career and their life, right?
And also something that I don't know that I was fully prepared for, but sometimes I felt like I was a high school civics teacher with my clients. So I really honed my skills in explaining the Constitution and the right to counsel and all of the defendants' rights when I was explaining the process to them and informing my clients of what to expect. In order to make an impact and for it to resonate, I had to go back to the basics of our system and sort of understand our system and understand it in a way where I could articulate it clearly where it would resonate.
Looking back, do you see VLC as definitely a good experience to have whenever the opportunity arose?
I think it was a good time for me at that point in my career. You know, I was in 04. I took on some leadership roles as a victim's legal counsel. And I think I didn't realize it then. It was really exciting to be on the ground floor of something that has been so well received by our clients, by Congress, by the government. I was there at the beginning. For me, at that time in my career, where I was, my pay grade, it was the right time at the right place where I got to show I could be an innovator. I could work without guardrails and still perform well. I have no idea what the promotion board considered, but that's something unique. And that's something that potentially set me apart from my peers at the time. So for me, yes, it was a good time.
As you progress in your career, taking on larger leadership positions like being an XO, did you feel that VLC played a part in giving you the skills that you needed to succeed?
Absolutely. Particularly being an XO at a region legal service office, because I had been a VLC for 3 years working in such a large geographic area, I understood military justice. I understood where it was going. I had a front row seat and I was observing it, so I could provide that backstop. And then on the other hand, you know, when you're an executive officer or in any leadership position, something unexpected will always happen. One of the things about being a VLC for 3 years in Norfolk was there are very few things that surprise me anymore. It takes a lot to shock me. I feel like I've seen it all and experienced a whole lot. I was well prepared to handle any personal or professional challenge that anyone who worked for me faced. And we did have challenges. And so I had honed my skills in sort of, I think being a VLC enhances your emotional intelligence and ability to assess people, to read people, know when to push, know when to give, you know, provide the support that they need and sort of identify the warning signs, things like that. You're just more attuned to that after being a victim's legal counsel. And I think it's a great trait for leaders, you know, when you're trying to build trust, when you're trying to take care of people.
How do you explain to younger officers the benefit of doing a tour as a VLC?
I can spin it as a benefit for both as a, whether you want to be a litigator or if you want to do a more generalist SJA track. I think even, you know, it's a little bit tougher with operational law and environmental law, but you build a skill set and I would say even any SJA job, military justice will cross your desk. When you're a victim's legal counsel, you become so attuned to the process because you have to educate your clients. So you have to know and understand it. You have to be able to answer their questions and you have to be dispassionate about it. You're not prosecution, you're not defense. You're someone who's sitting back and watching and articulating what the process is. You are giving commentary and feedback on the process so your client can be informed. And so your client can make a well-informed decision and not one that's, you know, biased or anything like that. So I think it's just very helpful to have that opportunity to sit back and watch the process unfold from the interview all the way to, if it goes to trial, the conclusion of trial. And then the interaction with commanding officers who, in my experience, wanted to do the right thing. They trust you because they don't know. They want to do the right thing. And you have this knowledge and you are representing one of their sailors. And they want to do the right thing by one of their sailors. And you have this opportunity also to educate them and to build relationships. And so I think, you know, when you go to become an SJA, you've earned some credibility because don't know how to navigate the sexual assault arena and they don't want to get it wrong.
One thing that we hear, you know, amongst, you know, when JAGs talk around the water cooler, you know, we may hear, oh, well, you know, I'm not sure about VLC. I don't know how that's going to affect my competitiveness or my detailing opportunities. But I mean, for you, you went from VLC to ESG2 and then, you know, obviously to bigger and better things from there too. What would you say to other JAGs who may feel that VLC will not contribute and help them be competitive?
I would say it was not true for me. You have to work well with others, not just for your own personal like detailing process, but also for your client. I can't burn bridges because, for instance, I need NCIS to gather as much evidence as possible. And they need to believe my client and they need to believe me. You know, I had to earn their trust. I had to earn the trial counsel's trust so they would include me, so they would inform me by putting in the hard work and showing that you were willing to do the hard work, that you understand the system, you work well with others. It opens the door to other detailing opportunities because you never know who is watching and observing your competency, your level of legal expertise. And I lucked out, right? Like when I was a VLC in Norfolk, the first commanding officer was Admiral Wilson, and he was watching to see what our client caseload was. We were new. We were the first program. You know, there was pressure to get it right. You have the opportunity, should you choose to take it, to excel and make a name for yourself. The other thing while I was in Norfolk, the first senior trial counsel was Admiral Stevens, followed by Captain Tang. So I built up credibility through my competency, my dedication, and hard work. What you want is people to want to work with you again.
A very impressive list of people that you interacted with during that time.
Everything is an opportunity if you choose to look for it.
Right. Absolutely. And you can do everything for the client. The government can put on a perfect case and you could still lose. Right. And you know, some days they're just bad days, but you just keep going. Right.
That's right.
Ma'am, looking back, what would you say are the biggest takeaways from your time in the VLC program?
Don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate your client. Don't underestimate like the system or people. I think sometimes in that job, it's really easy to see the worst in humanity because you see so many awful things and you hear awful things, and people have a wonderful way of rebounding. I think the biggest takeaway is don't get consumed by the negativity and the darkness. Try to seek out the positive things. I think it's healthier for you. It's healthier for your clients. You know, establish roots. You know, what I saw, the clients who seemed to bounce back better were ones who had roots. Either they had family connections or roots with friends. They had some level of stability. And I think that's a good life lesson in general.
I think that's an interesting point, right? Because as a defense attorney or a trial counsel, you know, you may see bad things in those jobs as well. But I almost feel
Absolutely.
Like it's different. It's a little different, right, though, because as a defense counsel, you're advocating those things didn't happen, right? And as a trial counsel, you know, you're representing the government, you're doing your best to present a fair, you know, objective case. But I feel like as VLC, it's much easier to get drawn into the sadness of it, right? And the weight of what happened. So I think that's very sage advice. That you can't only see the bad. You have to try and, you know, see the good in the client and their journey, right? And how they progress as they work with you and hopefully come to some outcome in their case.
I would also say another takeaway is be curious, right? So be curious about your clients, be curious about the system, get to know like what they do in the Navy. And I think asking those questions are good and safe, and it helps you understand the Navy more, their role, what they're coming from. It's also a way to sort of gauge how they would testify or present evidence. I would always tell my client, tell the truth and be yourself, because I think people can kind of see through when people are being fake and not being authentic. So
Absolutely.
Authenticity is
Absolutely.
key.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely agree. If you could, if the situation presented itself, would you do it again? Would you come back to VLC?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, of course I would. It was formative and it made me a better attorney. It made me a better leader. It made me a better mother, officer, friend. I think I could still continue to give and I'd be happy to serve in the program again.
So just kind of looking back over our conversation, I think the big takeaways for me are that VLC is much more than just monitoring a case, right? It's educating, it's outreach, it's building connections, and really becoming an advocate for your client on many different levels. I think you've also helped us see the experience is, there's almost kind of a cross-pollination effect, right, with other work that you do in the JAG Corps. And those your past experiences can play into how you are a good and effective VLC. And then being a VLC then plays into, you know, and gives you skills that will benefit you later in your career. And lastly, I think a big takeaway from our conversation is we're very fortunate in this program to have great leadership. You know, we are a cohesive team despite being spread all over the globe. And so in terms of your personal life and feeling valued and being able to have work-life balance, it's really hard to compete. We look at the kind of other JAG Corps jobs.
I think you did an excellent job of summing up my long-winded answers in a succinct and clear way. Bravo.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, it has been a pleasure chatting with you and getting to know a little bit more about you and the early days of the program. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You have been listening to JAG Talk, a podcast series featuring Navy JAG community experts. Visit jag.navy.mil for additional chapters of this podcast series. Thank you for tuning in.